You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I just feel like I've been around the block, ripping up fantasy stock, working around the clock. Look at the view from the top. Researching rookies a lot? No, I just be listening to pods, yeah. One in particular, I'm just a messenger, let me just pass on the rock. Browning, Brunning, Bruning, pronouncing ain't what he's doing. What he's doing is not losing, but infusing you with new things. And there's Dennis the Bennett, yeah. The man is a menace, yeah. Building a dynasty, some of the finest things. Promise you, you won't regret it. Sly as a fox, cultured in pop. Give him his props. Here is a thought, here is a box. And you cannot compare them at all, so don't even try. Careful with the news, but when you use a take, I take up Tony Fire, I mean Dyer. Because anyone else is a huge mistake. Whoa, fantasy round table, fantasy, fantasy round table. Yeah, fantasy round table. Come take a look at the crown, baby. Hey, fantasy round table, fantasy, fantasy round table. Woo, fantasy round table. Come take a look at the crown, baby. Go.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Roundtable Podcast. It is Wednesday. Matt is joining me here as we are going to go over our Week 2 top 12 positional ranks, and then we are going to jump in. Got a little bit of NFL news, and then we will preview the Thursday night football game, which looks to be just an outstanding game between the Washington football team and the New York Giants. Matt, how you doing on this beautiful Wednesday?
Good. You know, it'll be a football game anyway. I'm not gonna.
No, football is bad football, in my opinion. You know, I will sit and watch. I'm trying to think of Howard University versus UNLV, and that's not going to be a great game for college. But I will sit and watch it because it's football. And in a couple months, it's going to be February, and the Super Bowl will have just come and gone. And then we're going to be sitting here trying to figure out what we're going to do for like the next 5-6 months, and be like, I wish there was football off the
head. Look. I'm just going to say no football game is a bad football game unless you're accidentally in England and it turns out to be soccer.
How dare you, sir? Soccer is a beautiful sport. I love soccer. Cristiano Ronaldo back with Manchester United. They're going to win the – they got beat by the boys. What's it, the good old boys? The young boys. Anyways, you guys aren't here for soccer talk. I apologize. We are proud at the Fantasy Football Roundtable Podcast to be a part of the Pigskin Podcast Network. You can find them on Twitter, along with not just us, but a ton of other great shows. They got hockey, baseball, the aforementioned soccer, all kinds of fantasy content as well. It's a great podcast network to be a part of. We are thrilled that they allowed us to be a part of them, probably because they haven't checked out one of these shows yet to realize exactly what it is we do, and then we're probably going to get kicked out. But, you know, right now, let's keep that a secret. We'll keep doing what we're doing until they figure out what we're doing. All right, so some of the news here. An interesting one, though it doesn't seem like Sean Payton is very worried. 8 members of the Saints, including 6 offensive coaches, are out with COVID. Sean Payton was, I believe, said earlier today something to the effect of, we're moving forward, it's not a big deal. Everybody has already been fully vaccinated. He's not worried about any of the players really being caught, I guess, or getting COVID because they did a good job of keeping them separate beforehand. Are you concerned at all? Because we do know the NFL came out earlier this year, if you guys missed it, said, we're not moving any games. If something happens where you guys have to, you know, get a bunch of players who unfortunately get COVID, it's a forfeit. There is no moving games like last year.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, the headline was 8 members of the Saints organization. And, you know, you almost have a heart attack. And then you read six of them are offensive coaches. Now, the coaches don't matter and offensive coaches don't matter, but Sean Payton's probably the most important offensive coach. He seems relatively unaffected. What it more makes me concerned about, we know a hotbed right now for Delta variant is Florida. 1 week in Florida for the Saints and 8 people. We know even if you're vaccinated, you can still get it. You know, you don't get as sick, but for purposes of what we do, you're still end up out of the lineup. So it's something to monitor. Hopefully it doesn't start spreading to players. But like what you said, we know the game's not going to move, that the Saints are going to be playing the Panthers or forfeiting to the Panthers on Sunday. For a team that started out really hot and looked really good, we would like to see them have a chance to continue. I actually think that looks like one of the more fun games potentially now on Sunday. So it's definitely a situation to monitor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my advice would be anybody going down to Florida, don't attend one of those, we'll just call them fancy nightclubs. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of bodily stuff being thrown around. Maybe just avoid them right now until things start to calm down and, you know, to go about your business, and we can attend those things here in the near future. Matt and myself suffered a little bit from this earlier today. Kevin Stefanski came out and ruled OBJ out after we had done some of our rankings, so we had to go back in and adjust those. But he did come out and say that OBJ will not be playing at least this week again for the Browns against the Houston Texans. I was telling Matt right beforehand, I watched a little bit of this, and it does seem like Stefanski's not really worried about it. It's more of a just they want to hold him out one more week to make sure he is fully healthy before he's ready to go in week three. I don't like the attitude, and I'm not saying Stefanski did not come out and say this, but it almost felt like a whole, we probably don't need Odell to beat the Texans, so we're just going to hold him out to make sure he's fully healthy. Usually that stuff comes back to bite you in the ass a little bit, as I mentioned to Matt, but they don't seem worried about it. They really don't seem worried about him. It just kind of sucks that now we're going a second week without being able to see him out there in this Browns offense.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of this so far in the season. Guys coming back from injury, there is a matter of rust and timing. OBJ got knocked out mid-season last year, needs to work himself back in. We've seen it even with Saquon Barkley. He looked a little rusty, has to work back in game shape. We saw it in preseason with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow at times struggling, needing to work back in. The longer that we wait to see him get in there, the more it delays coming back. And I think you and I were among the people that were hoping for a big bounce back season for OBJ, wanted to see him bounce back to at least be a wide receiver too. A lot of people had high hopes for this year, so it's kind of a bummer to miss him. You know, they may not need him to beat the Texans, but at the same time, that seemed like a prime matchup where you could get get some good traction, get some excitement before you hit the teeth of what's, you know, going to be a difficult schedule, especially with some of the division opponents they play.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't love the first game Odell's going to be out there is the Chicago Bears game. I mean, their secondary is not quite as good as it was last year, but it's still really good. And to see him have to go out there, you know, Baker, even as good as that offensive line is, we know Wills is probably going to be out for a couple more weeks at least, and Khalil Mack and that defense kind of coming after Baker. So probably not the most ideal. You're right, Texans would have been the better one. But I guess I do like the fact that they're trying to make sure he's 100% before putting him back on the field, because we did see that the first year he came over to Cleveland. He was dealing with a little bit of an injury, and they kind of rushed him out on the field, and it never seemed like he really recovered that year. And, I mean, it didn't help that Freddie Kitchens was their coach either, but it just never really seemed to click. And then obviously got injured pretty early on last year as well. Last but not least, water is wet. Bruce Arians is saying that Ronald Jones is going to start. I mean, I was trying to think of something witty to say, but I was just like, I trust Bruce Arians about as much as I trust Lord Voldemort to tell me something. Like, it's not happening, man. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, I couldn't think of a better reference. I apologize, everybody, but
Jones literally might start, but I think this comes up because we saw him have kind of a big fumble there, and he didn't get back in the game. And then Bruce Arians talked about him beating himself up and wasn't able to mentally recover. Was that the reason he didn't get snaps, or did he anger you? But then he comes right back, says he's going to start. I don't know how you did it. I don't have either here Fournette particularly high, but I have Fournette higher than Jones. I don't care what Arians says. I need to see it.
Oh yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm pretty sure. Again, we don't go too deep into our running back rankings, but you can see them. They should be up on the website as tomorrow. That part is free. Those rankings we give Matt, myself, and Brandon. Hey, we give our full. We go 32 at quarterback, 25 at tight end, and then 60 at wide receiver and running back. And you get to see the whole ranking set for free. Most of the other rankings you can only see top 12. Give away for free.
We were going to charge for them, but then we saw how our rankings went last week, and we thought, in good conscience,
I wasn't going to throw that out there. I was trying to just make us seem, you know, like we're very charitable and stuff like that, and I didn't want them to know. It's mostly just because we sucked, at least last week. But I did not have any of the Buccaneers running backs ranked high, and Fournette was my highest ranked, though, as well.
Yeah. He seemed like he was getting a lot of run. Seems like Gio's still a little banged up, so I'm sure Jones will get some opportunity. They're playing Atlanta. Should not be quite as competitive as the Cowboys game was, so maybe we'll get to see a little bit more. But
yeah.
Rojo.
I know. I was very high on him when he came out, too. Still hurts a little bit right here in my heart. All right, so let's go into our rankings that we just mentioned. We'll start at quarterback. We'll do the same same thing every week. So if you guys missed it last week, Matt, I will have you start, give your 12 through 7, and then we will give our top 6.
Okay, and we're starting with quarterbacks. So my 12 is Baker Mayfield. I don't know. I think they're going to have a good game against the Texans. 11, and I don't feel great about it, but I have Aaron Rodgers. I have to believe that the Packers are going to come back and be competitive against Detroit. And we saw Detroit's defense wasn't in great shape with Jeff Okuda. I don't imagine they got better without Jeff Okuda. I think I'm still thinking we're going to get a bounce back from the two Aarons and Davante Adams, the game that we thought we were going to get last week. But if they do it again, RIP Aaron Rodgers in my mentions. Jalen Hurts is my number 10. I know it's not an easy matchup with the 49ers. He looked really good last week until he proves that he needs to come down. I'm going to move him up. Josh Allen, 9, on the road. Miami, not an easy defense. I think they're going to win, but I put him down a little bit. Matt Stafford, Rams at 8. They are in against the Colts. Russell Wilson torched the Colts. I'm not worried about Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Number 7, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I'd probably have him higher if I thought the Buccaneers had to try hard to beat Atlanta. Number 6, Justin Herbert and the Chargers. I think Dallas's defense is better, but they're still Dallas's defense. Number 5, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. I saw what Kyler Murray did to the Titans defense in Tennessee. The Titans defense is now on the road on the West Coast. I do not believe in them. Number 4, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. The Chargers have a decent defense, but I think the Cowboys offense is just that good. Number 3, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. I think Ravens Chiefs potentially is going to be the game of the week in terms of back and forth scoring. Number 2, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And number 1, I had him there last week. I'm keeping him there. Kyler Murray. I think I was only supposed to go to 6. And I screwed you, but
that's right.
Kyler, playing the Vikings. I don't believe in the Vikings.
We have a lot of the same players in here. A couple differences. Like, for instance, I don't have Baker up there. I do think they will rely a little bit. We saw them rely a lot on the run in that game early in the game. Then they kind of went to the passing. I don't think they're going to have to pass that much. Texans had one of the worst rush defenses last year. I think Chubb and Kareem Hunt will be able to eat a little bit. So I think Baker have a good day. I had him at 15, but I hope he finishes top 12. I've got him on a lot of teams. But he's really the main one that I feel like I don't have that you had in there. So at 12, I have Tannehill. I just expect him to bounce back a little bit this week, I think, with the rushing upside as well. And I think they're going to have to rely on him. We saw that defense was just as bad as we thought it was going to be. I think they're going to have to start passing the ball more. They're not going to be able to rely on Derrick Henry like they did last year, which likely means Tannehill is going to have to produce, and I think he'll be able to do that this week. At 11, I have Russell Wilson. I think, obviously, I'm with you. I don't think he's going to have much trouble with who they play this week? It's not the Colts. Oh, God, I should move him up further. For whatever reason, I have listed as the Colts. So he'll move up a little bit, but yeah, so I apologize. I don't know why I have him listed here as playing the Titans. I guess I never changed that.
The Colts last week.
Yeah, I know. Stafford here at 10 for me. Then I have Hurts at 9. Kind of the same with you on Hurts. I mean, I had him at 6, I think, last week. He's going to be in my top 10 every week until he gives me a reason not to put him up there again. The legs, and he looked a lot better passing. I don't know if you saw that SportsCenter stat that I tagged Ray Garvin in. I'm going to jump in. I want to okay, I'll tell you about that right now because Ray, I really respect Ray when it comes to breaking down prospects. And last year he said that, and it's something I've never said like this together, but I've said that I think Lamar struggles at a passer at times. I've been like completely just killed on Twitter for it. Most of the time I think it's because people know that I'm a Browns fan and they think I'm being critical of Lamar because he's a Ravens player, which is not true. I was all in on Lamar this year. He said that he believes Jalen Hurts is a better passer than Lamar. And so he thinks that Jalen Hurts has staying power because of that, because we've seen what Lamar can do, and he feels like Hurts is a little bit more accurate. In 5 games, Jalen Hurts has started 5 games, right? He has now 2 300-yard passing games. In Lamar Jackson's, I think it's 38 starts, do you know how many 300-yard passing games he has? 1. In 38 starts, 1 300-yard passing game. But now, some of that is –
his 300-yard games must have been last year, though, right?
Well, because I think he got – did he not get 300 last week? I don't know.
64. Okay. 264 and 62 rushing.
Then I guess so, yeah. That's just – I mean, it was from ESPN. I assume they didn't mess that that up. No. But, yeah, it was – yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Last year, he was on a roll at the end of last year, but we thought maybe it was – partially because people didn't have tape on him, wasn't expecting it, and the Eagles. But, you know, people definitely have tape on him now. And
yep, he still looked pretty good. Yeah, I mean, granted, Falcons, so take that with a little bit of grain of salt. But it still looked pretty good out there. But, yeah, so I was kind of surprised by that. So I'm all in on Hurts. I think, like you said, until he gives us a reason not to, he's going to be in the top 10. It's just going to vary on where he goes in the top 10. I think a little bit of a tougher matchup this week, so I dropped him down just a couple spots. What did I do with my rankings? There we go. I have Brady at 8, so 1 spot behind you. I just think they're going to get to a point in that game where they're probably just going to start running it. He's not going to need to pass it much, but he's up there. Josh Allen. Yeah, yeah. Josh Allen up here at 7. Then I have Lamar up at 6. I wanted to move Lamar up more, but then there was news just came out that Marquise Hollywood Brown is questionable now for that game against the Chiefs. I know. I'm so worried about what this offense Lamar's could look like.
300 yards and 5 touchdowns.
And that's why I kind of want to move him up, because I feel like Baker still had a pretty good day against that Chiefs defense, and Lamar obviously can do a lot more with his legs than Baker can. So it was more of like a hesitant thing for me. I'm at 6. I wanted to move him up a little bit higher, but I'm going to keep him here for now. Kyler Murray coming in at 5. I think he's going to have another big week. I just like some of the other quarterbacks ahead of him. Mahomes at 4, because I do think it's going to be a shootout again, and Mahomes is going to have to keep up with Lamar somewhat. They don't have a running game either, in my opinion, so it's all going to be on Mahomes. I have Rodgers up here at 3 because I think Rodgers is pissed about what happened last week, and he's going to come out on fire. I would not be surprised if we see I think it was 2 years ago, Devontae Adams game, where he had like over 100-something yards in like the first half, 120 or it was almost 150 yards receiving in the first half. I think he's going to go nuts this week against Detroit, especially with Okuda being out. At 2, I have Dak Prescott. I'm just going to 2 and 1 is Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert. I think this is going to be one of the best games of the weekend. I agree with you that the Chargers defense is really good. Cowboys defense looked a little bit better than I expected them to, so I don't think they're going to be quite that defense as a get-right defense like they were last week. But I think because these offenses are both going to be so good, they're going to be going back and forth all game long, and I think that's what's going to kind of boost both Dak and Justin Herbert up. So they are my top 2 at quarterback this week.
It's interesting to me that you have Tannehill up there, because Seattle's defense did a pretty good job with the Colts offense, and Tennessee looks like a hot mess that has trouble protecting. I actually knocked Henry and Tannehill and AJ Brown down and dropped Julio quite a bit. They have some bad energy to me. I have Tannehill at QB 21.
Ooh, so that's going to be very interesting to see. Yeah.
One of us is going to be wrong.
He might come in closer to 15. I don't think Tennessee wants to go 0-2, and I don't think they're quite as bad as they looked in week one as well. I really think it was just one of those things where, and I could be wrong, because I've said often I don't think Tennessee's a playoff team, but I kind of think it was one of those things where Arizona jumped on them so fast and just kind of kept punching them in the face, and I felt like it was one of those things where they just kind of folded. I don't think that happens this week. I mean, we've seen the past couple years, at least, the Tennessee Titans have been a very good team. I think Tannehill, again, I think he's going to use his legs a lot this week. Julio's got another week in that offense to get going a little bit. I think they're going to have to pass a lot because I don't think Henry's going to be a major part in this one. So that's why I think purely volume-based, Tannehill's going to be up there.
He's another question mark for me, too. They were talking about it on NFL radio this morning. Mike Vrabel basically publicly slammed Julio Jones and his effort and some of his behavior on the field. And the guys that were on the radio this morning, both ex-players, said it's you have total respect for a coach that's going to hold you accountable. And Vrabel came from that Belichick system where no one was above. But there's a difference between them telling you and holding you accountable and going to the media. And going to the media, especially with a player like that in a new situation, can either light a fire under them or completely backfire and destroy you. And I don't know if I feel like the Titans had very good chemistry last week. Makes me a little nervous.
I agree.
I'm just going to say it makes me a little nervous. So this week I knocked them back a little bit. I hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I said that on the Monday show that I really think that's part of the issue with Julio because there were reports that he barely practiced this offseason with the Titans, and he did not play in a single preseason game. We've talked about it. I think that's why a lot of teams were so off last year, right, because of COVID. I would not be surprised. But I think Julio is just so good that if he goes out there, I think he can have a good game. He almost had a touchdown in that game. I think it got called back or he dropped it. I don't remember. But he had a ball in the end zone. I don't know. I could be wrong. This is one of the ones I feel like Tennessee's going to bounce back a little bit. So I'm in on them having a good week. Let's go to running back. I'll give my 12 through 7 here first. So at 12, I've got Najee. I had him there last week. Obviously a disappointing game, but we just saw what Tyson Williams was able to do against the Raiders. I think it's not unfair to say that the Najee Harris is much better than him, so I think he's going to go out and have a good game. I've got DeAndre Swift here at 11. Again, I think the Packers are going to come out on fire and try and put as many points as they can up on the board, which likely means a ton of dump-offs to him and Jamal Williams. I have Jamal Williams inside my top 24 as well, not quite as high as Swift. Zeke I have up here at 10. Chargers, good defense, but I do think that, again, I think it's going to be a very high offensive scoring game. Hopefully he gets a couple more dump-offs as well. At 9, Eckler, same thing. Obviously they're playing each other. At 8, I have Jonathan Taylor here. Rams defense looked pretty good. Now, granted, David Montgomery ended up having a pretty good game, but I think with the mixture of Hines in here as well, it's going to limit him a little bit. He did look great rushing last week, but he got a lot of receiving work. So if that receiving work stays there, I could see Taylor moving up a little bit, but I've got him at 8. At 7, Alvin Kamara. I just think it's going to be a fun game. I'm thought about moving him higher, but I think I'm going to keep him right around here for now. I mean, Panthers defense didn't look horrible last week, but they were playing the Jets. So I'm kind of not sure what to think about that defense. And then I'm sorry, that's my 7. All right, so who do you got 12 through 7?
12 for me, I have Elijah Mitchell. You know, I think he ends up leading the 49ers backfield. I liked what he did last week. You know, I'm not going to pop. I think he finished as RB3 last week. I don't have him that high, but I like him like to see. Number 11, Najee Harris. Still the same reasons as you. He gets tons of volume. You know, I think if you took Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray's work and combined them together, that would have been right about where they ended up. Both those guys scored touchdowns. I think it's going to be a good game for Najee Harris, especially at home. 10, I have Joe Mixon. I know they're playing the Bears, but Darrell Henderson did pretty decently against the Bears last week on the road, and I think Mixon's going to get a lot more volume than that, both as a runner, and he was getting some pass work, so I have him in there. Number 9, I have DeAndre Swift, a lot for the same reasons you do. He's a primary passing target, as we saw. He's going to get carries. They gave up a pretty decent day to Alvin Kamara in week 1, so I think Swift's going to do well. I also have Jamal Williams inside my top 24, right at 24, so I think both of them, they're going to be factors all season. Then at number 8, I have Antonio Gibson. I think especially with Heinicke, they're going to rely on him. The Giants' defense did pretty well in spots, but they gave up over 150 yards rushing to the Broncos, and I think Antonio Gibson can do is a little more dynamic than Melvin Gordon, so I think he's going to have a decent night. And at 7, I have Aaron Jones. We just saw Detroit get raked by Elijah Mitchell, and I think both Aaron's and Devontae are going to be fired up at home to be better.
All right, so my 6, I have Dalvin Cook. I think he's outside of an injury, he's going to be up here near the top 5 every single week. Just doesn't make any sense not to have him up here. At 5, I have Antonio Gibson. With Heinicke back there, I expect him to do a lot more dump-offs and just focus more on Antonio Gibson to kind of – they've got a good enough defense if they can play the run game and not really, and limit the turnovers. I think Washington still has a very good team. At 4, I have Aaron Jones, as you just mentioned, and we've talked about already. Packers likely going to have a massive game. Aaron Jones up here at 4. At 3, I have Joe Mixon. I mean, he looked incredible last week. I don't see any reason why he slows down this week. Who are they playing again? I'm trying to – the Bears. So, obviously, a pretty good defense, but as you just mentioned, Darrell Henderson, 70-plus yards on the ground, touchdown. I think Mixon's better. Plus, he's got the work in the receiving game as well. They don't really have anybody else there behind him. So, as long as he's good and healthy, I think he's going to end for a massive game. At 2, I've got Nick Chubb. I mean, I expect the Browns to just run, and just pile it up on Houston. I don't expect them to have a whole lot of passing. And I don't think this defense is really going to be able to do much to stop Chubb either. I mean, he looked really good against that Kansas City defense, in my opinion, outside of the fumble. I think Chubb's in for a big game. Then at 1, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey. When Christian McCaffrey is on bye, it's still going to be Christian McCaffrey because he's likely still going to have outscored everybody who ends up playing and getting points that week. So he's going to be number 1 every single week. No, just so you guys are aware, no surprises.
6 for me is David Montgomery. I liked what he did last week against the Rams, and I think they want to keep going. They're trying to mix in the run, especially with the red rifle back there. Number 5, I have Nick Chubb. He was great last week. I don't see it changing. Number 4, you had him lower. I have Jonathan Taylor. They noted one of the things about the Rams defense last week when they were talking about them playing the Bears is the way they play and open up the middle. They're almost daring you to run. The Colts want to run and have a better line than the Bears do. I think Jonathan Taylor might have his first 100-yard game of the season. Number 3, I have Dalvin Cook. I think the Vikings really want to run. He's also a guy that catches a lot of dump offs. I think they're going to need to try to establish a run game more than Tennessee was able to do to keep that Arizona front and Chandler Jones honest. Number 2, I have Alvin Kamara. He's a weapon on the ground and in the passing game. He doesn't really have a veteran threat behind him. And I think with them having very few receivers and things like that, I think he's going to play a big part. And then number 1 for me is the same as you, Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how you go away from a guy that returned from missing almost a season that had a measly 189 total yards.
Yeah, I know. How pathetic. Couldn't even break 200. What a loser. All right. So why don't you give us your 12 through 7 wide receivers?
Yeah, so for me at 12, I have Debo Samuel, 49ers. He looked really good. He seems like he's becoming a focal point in the passing game. And again, I know the Falcons couldn't take advantage of it, but the Eagles secondary does not seem incredibly imposing to me. I actually have Jimmy G up inside my top 15. Lord help us all. Number 11, I have Stephon Diggs. He still seems like the main focus for Buffalo. Again, they're playing Miami. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher, but we've seen him thrive against tougher corners before. 10, I have Justin Jefferson. I think he'll probably end up having a bigger game here. They're definitely going to have to throw to keep up with Arizona. And Arizona doesn't have a true number one corner right now that really scares you. I think Byron Murphy is their top corner. Number nine for me is Cooper Kupp. He had incredible chemistry and seemed to be a go-to guy with Stafford watching that last week. He had a lot of targets, led them in targets. Number eight for me is CeeDee Lamb. I think, you know, with Gallup on the bench, they have some other guys, but I think Lamb and Cooper are going to be even more of a focus. And those guys did really well last week. I don't see that changing. Number seven for me is Keenan Allen, who I think is going to be the focus for Justin Herbert.
So at number 12, I have Lamb. Again, we're going to talk a lot about that game, I think, on Friday, too. I think Lamb really looked good in that game, as did Cooper. I've got both of them very high again this week. Had Lamb ranked above Cooper. I think Cooper outscored him barely in fantasy. No,
by a lot.
Last week. It wasn't a lot.
Cooper was wide receiver one in PPR. Lamb was wide receiver 13.
Oh, was he? I thought Lamb still got like 20-something points. I know Cooper got 30. Cooper
had like 36 points.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got Lamb up there as the one for them this week. At 11, I have Tyler Lockett. I'm debating on moving him down a little bit, but he looks so good. That chemistry is there with Russell, but it always seems like he's like an every other week kind of guy. So maybe this is DK's week. I still have both of them in my top 12, though. At 10, Justin Jefferson had a decent week last week. I expect him to bounce back a little bit this week for Minnesota. At 9, I have Allen Robinson. I mean, he was targeted a lot. We saw how well Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne, and Justin Jefferson looked against this Bengals secondary last week. I have no doubt that Allen Robinson is going to look good, whether it's Justin Fields or Andy Dalton at QB. At number 8, I have Calvin Ridley. You know, I know, Matt, we talked a little bit pre-show. You've got Calvin Ridley down pretty far. I just think because he's really the only option with Pitts that they're going to get some kind of volume, because Tampa Bay is probably going to jump on Atlanta quickly. And so even with the volume, the injuries there. I mean, you have Murphy Bunting is out now all year, I believe, because it was a shoulder injury or dislocated elbow, I think. For the Bucs. So I think their second is a little bit weaker. Now, granted, Matt Ryan didn't have a whole lot of time last week against an Ingles defensive line. I think the Bucs is even better, but he's going to get the ball to somebody. So I still have Ridley up here. I think he's too talented to keep out of the top 12. Maybe I should move him down to 12, but I think he's going to have an okay day. And then at 7, I have Stephon Diggs here with the Bills. I just expect them to have a good game. It was a weird game last week against the Steelers and Dolphins. The Dolphins didn't really look great on defense to me. Mac Jones at times was kind of picking them apart. I trust Josh Allen and Diggs to be a little bit better this week against Miami. So
6 for me, I have Allen Robinson. We saw what Adam Thielen did to the Bengals secondary. Allen Robinson, better.
Yeah.
Number 5 for me is DK Metcalf. DeAndre Hopkins destroyed the Titans last week. And so I think that I think Lockett will be fine. I still have him up in my top 15, but I think this ends up being DK Metcalf will, you know, register some ownership in that secondary. Number 4 for me is Amari Cooper. He was incredible. It looks like he and Dak are just on a different page now. And like I said, with Gallup, I think it's going to clarify, especially in the tougher game that they're going to go against a couple guys. Number 3 for me is Devontae Adams. I expect Devontae Adams has some anger still and it's going to come out hot. Number 2 for me is DeAndre Hopkins. Again, Vikings secondary. No, thank you. And then number 1 for me is Tyreek Hill. We thought Tyreek was going to have a lesser game last week, and all he managed was a Darren Waller, like 15 targets, 11 receptions, 175 yards. I saw what Waller and Bryan Edwards and Ruggs and Hunter receding hairline Renfro did to the Ravens secondary. I'm not really worried about Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I like Marlon Humphreys, and I think for the most part, Denzel Ward kept Hill in check. It was really the big play, which was they ended up getting a safety on Tyreek Hill. I tweeted out the thing that it just seems like those two are able to pull off this this bull crap every time, every week, it seems like. But yeah, I've got Hill pretty high in my ranks as well. So at five, I have Metcalf as well. You mentioned it. Hopkins went nuts against the Titans. I expect Metcalf to do the same. At four, Keenan Allen for me. Dude was on fire last week, was one of the best scoring wide receivers, and didn't even get a touchdown last week. I think that changes against this Dallas secondary. There's nobody really on the secondary that scares me. I think Allen is in for a big day, as is Mike Williams. I have Mike Williams pretty high as well. Three, Hopkins. He's kind of like McCaffrey for me at this point. Really, these top three guys are. They're going to be somewhere in the top five every single week. They're just not going anywhere. They're too good. At two is Tyreek Hill because, again, I've said I just think Adams and Green Bay are going to go crazy this week. And so I think the Ravens defense will focus in on Hill. He's still going to have a big game. But Adams, I'm not even kidding. I think, like, 100 plus by halftime is very reasonable here for Adams with at least a touchdown. It's, of course, maybe they're going to have 0 points again and get beat 38-3, but I really think Green Bay is going to turn it around and this week kind of go crazy against the Detroit Lions. So if you're playing any of the Packers, better hope you're up by a lot going into that Monday night game because it's going to be a very stressful night for you. Let's finish it up with the tight ends, Matt, before we jump in and preview the Thursday night football game.
Yep, so number 12 for me, I have Jonnu Smith for the Patriots. I know somebody's going to have to catch. I do not think that's going to be a very high-scoring or robust game, the Jets and Patriots, but Smith I have higher. Number 11, Juwan Johnson for the Saints. Finally came out after we saw that the Saints really like him. They seem to be liking him in the red zone. Looks like he's going to get that kind of Jared Cook red zone look, which, you know, for tight ends, touchdowns is what you got to be looking for because kind of fungible position. 10 for me is Logan Thomas in Washington. I think especially with Samuel out, Thomas and McLaren are the focus there. It may not be a robust passing game, but I still like him. Number 9 for me, Higbee for the Rams, Tyler Higbee. I just think the Rams want to pass, and they're using Higbee and the two receivers. Number 8 for me is Noah Fant for the Broncos. He was very heavily targeted in the first game. I don't see that changing against Jacksonville. And number 7 for me is Dallas Goedert with the Eagles. He and Devonta Smith and Jalen Reagor all caught touchdowns. It looks like Goddard really is more of a target than Ertz for the Eagles.
All right, so at 12, I have Jonnu Smith as well. I am with you. I think he's clearly the guy that they want to use in different ways in that offense, and he's going to be one of the main receivers on or receiving option for the Mac Jones this week. At 11, I have Noah Fant, just because I think this Jags defense is also very bad against the run. So I think Fant is going to end up having a good day. I can see Gordon and Williams also just kind of like eating up a lot of clock here against the Jaguars, leading Denver to a win. At 10, I have Goddard. I agree with you. He definitely seemed to be kind of like the second receiver behind Smith, but I don't know if they're as high scoring. Granted, if Goddard gets a touchdown, he's shooting up because of just how fickle this position is. But I've got him right there at 10. At 9, I have Rob Gronkowski. I mean, after what I saw last week, I don't know how I keep him out of my top 10. I think he's going to clearly be – it almost looks like they have that chemistry back of when they were in New England again. He was talking him up on their Let's Go show that he has on SiriusXM with Larry Fitzgerald about how great he's looked, and he's back to the old Gronk. So I think Gronk's in for probably a big season this year. So I've got him at 9. At 8, I have Mark Andrews. I thought it was just a weird game against Oakland. They tried to get him the ball, missed on a couple big throws that could have made the day a lot bigger for him. I think he bounces back this week again in what's likely going to be a high-scoring game. And then at 7, I have Logan Thomas again. Heinicke being out there, Logan Thomas actually had a very good year last year with Heinicke, Kyle Allen. Like, he was one of the tight ends who was very consistent with multiple changes at quarterback, so I don't think that changes for him having Heinicke as his quarterback. I think he's been very trustworthy. He's a option that Heinicke will trust a lot because he'll be kind of in the short area where McLaurin may be their deep option. So I'm still in on Logan Thomas.
Yeah, at 6 for me, I have Rob Gronkowski for what you talked about. I mean, it looked like Patriot connection days. Number five, I have George Kittle. He had a decent day, but it seems like they have some other weapons they may be running. Number four, TJ Hockenson. He led the Lions in targets. The Lions are going to be behind. He's going to lead the Lions in targets again. Three for me, Mark Andrews. They tried a lot of big plays. They were very close to landing them. We saw the Chiefs defense susceptible to big plays for the tight end. David Njoku did that. I think, no offense, but I think Mark Andrews is a little bit better than Njoku. I'm thinking they're going to need to and will land a couple of those, especially if Marquise Brown can't go, because that makes him, you know, it's Sammy Watkins and Andrews.
Tylan Wallace.
Number two, Darren Waller. Find someone who loves you as much as Derek Carr loves Darren Waller. The guy got 19 targets last week. Don't foresee that changing a lot. And number one, Travis Kelce. Darren Waller destroyed the Ravens over the middle. Travis Kelce probably a little, just a touch. I mean, not a lot, but just a touch better.
Yeah, so I've got at six, Tyler Higbee. You already mentioned the Rams likely going to be passing a lot. The Colts defense didn't really do much to stop Russell Wilson, and I think that the Rams offense is better. So right now, at least, I'm still riding with Higbee, but I do think that this lasts all season. At five, I just can't quit him. I'm going to do it. Kyle Pitts. This is it. This is the week. He's going to have a big week. Tampa Bay, I don't know if they're going to be able to cover him. He's got to – Matt Ryan's got to pass the ball to someone. They're not going to get shut out. I'm in on Kyle Pitts this week. Number four, TJ Hockenson. As you mentioned, a ton of targets. They're going to be behind. He's going to be fed the ball. Three for me is Darren Waller. I expect him to, again, continue to probably get – if they pass the ball 30 times, he's going to get 28 targets. But the Steelers still have a very good defense. I think that they are going to try and try and lock up Waller, so I expect him to have a little bit of a lower week as it just dropping down one spot. Kittle, for me, is the guy at two this week. Eagles defense doesn't scare me much, but they, I felt like their run defense was actually pretty good. Now, maybe it was Mike Davis. I don't know, but they looked pretty good against the run last week.
Atlanta's offensive line.
Yeah, I don't – I'm not 100% sold that Mitchell's going to be the guy, especially now with Mostert being out. I think they're going to mix in Sermon as well. And I don't know that I trust anybody on that defense to really slow down Kittle or really Debo. I can see them passing the ball a lot. I think Kittle's in for a pretty big game this week. And then, yeah, number one, I mean, it's the CMC of the tight end position in Travis Kelce. He's going to be one every single week. So it's just that one is not really, like I said, it's not. Now we're not surprising anybody with that pick.
All right. Well, you know, you got our rankings, but if you want to have some comparison rankings, you need to get over to footballdiehards.com and get the Flash Update Pro. It's a full suite of tools that will make you a better fantasy manager. It's the tools that help Bob Harris reach the Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. They have rankings, configurable cheat sheets, mock drafts, consistency tools, target distribution, snap counts, and more. So get over there and get the Flash Update Pro today. If you use the code ROUNDTABLE, you'll get 15% off the already low price of $24.
All right, so let's talk about the Thursday night game, which is between the Washington football team and the New York Giants. For the Giants side, Evan Ingram out. Saquon Barkley listed as questionable, though everything is pointing to he's likely going to play. Matt, what do you expect from the Giants offense? And if Saquon does play, are you starting him?
I'm going to say I actually watched a ton of Giants last week because they happened to be playing my Denver Broncos. Daniel Jones looked better than I expected against a pretty robust Denver secondary. Sterling Shepard looked a lot better than expected. I would be curious to see if that continues. When it comes to Saquon, I thought it was a combination of he looked a little rusty. They were playing a very good defensive front, and they were rotating Devontae Booker to keep him fresh and to slowly work him in. I don't think that changes, especially on a short week on Thursday night. I do not have Saquon Barkley in my top 30. It's possible he breaks one and gets a touchdown, but we saw him drop a routine pass last week that you don't see happen. That's he has not had a lot of game reps and not a lot of contact. You're talking about a short, short week for these guys. I'm not starting him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think I had him at 28, so we're almost lockstep in there with Barkley. I hate to see it because I love Saquon. I think he is a transcendent player, not just a running back, football player in general. It sucks to see that, but I do think he is working back a little bit. He was not practicing a lot. We didn't really see him in the preseason. I think it's going to take him a couple weeks to kind of get going in. And let's be honest, the Giants' offensive line is not great, which probably hurts him a little bit as well. Outside then of Sterling Shepard, who I think is an automatic start, I don't remember exactly where I have him in my ranks, but he is top 24. I don't think there's any way you can sit him right now with the way he looked last week. As long as he's healthy, I expect him to go out there and have a really good week and probably a really good season. I do have Kenny Golladay ranked fairly high as well. I was trying to pull mine up here, but all of a sudden my computer is moving very slow. So I have Golladay at 22. And Sterling Shepard at 19. So I think both of them can go out there and have a pretty good game this week. Is Sterling Shepard the only player you're starting for the Giants this week? Assuming Superflex out, we're starting Daniel Jones in Superflex. Just, you know, regular wide receivers, running back, tight end.
I actually am not sure, unless I had no other options, that Daniel Jones would be a starter for me in Superflex. I have him outside my top 24. The Washington defense is pretty stout, and their secondary actually held a much better quarterback in Justin Herbert and a much better receiver in Keenan Allen pretty well in check. I have Sterling Shepard as a healthy top-end wide receiver 3, so I'm probably playing him. Based on what I saw last week, I have Darius Slayton in as a wide receiver 4. He seemed like a guy they were taking shots to. I think Golladay is still trying to work himself back into shape. I think they're mixing in Kadarius Toney because they don't know what they're doing with him. I do have all three of those guys in my top 60, but I have Kenny Golladay down in the 50s.
Gotcha.
He was suffering with a little bit of a hamstring thing.
Yeah.
I didn't look like he had great chemistry with Daniel Jones. And I'm thinking Washington probably is going to spend a pretty decent corner on him. Slayton's the one I think will have a shot to get a deep ball. And then Shepard just seemed like the most consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, the reason I have Golladay ranked so high is I think he can play the Mike Williams role. And we saw what Mike Williams was able to do against him last week. Now, I didn't take the hamstring issue into effect much. So that could limit him a little bit, but if it doesn't, I think Golladay is the one who's in for a big week, because I wouldn't be surprised if they have their guys focusing more on Shepard based on the week that he just had. So I have both. I double-checked. I apologize. I have Sterling Shepard at 29 and Golladay at 22. So I have Shepard pretty much a wide receiver 3 as well, but both I think are playable, especially in likely if you're paying attention to this show, you're in deeper format. So I think both of those guys are playable.
Yeah, and you know, so your best case, I just looked it up. Mike Williams finished as wide receiver 14, I think largely because he got a big touchdown. Keenan Allen ended up kind of in the wide receiver. He was wide receiver 20. I think both those guys might be a little bit better than the Giants receivers, but I think for sure the quarterback is better. And that's where I'm just a little more cautious, I think, especially on a short week.
All right, so anything else you want to add on the Giants side before we move over to Washington?
Nope, I'm just hoping you're not resting your fantasy week on the Giants.
Yeah. For Washington, really the big one is just Fitzpatrick. He is obviously out with the hip subluxation. I don't know how to say it. Supplication? I don't know.
The ball popped out there of the joint. That's all
there we go. Need to know. Just his hip popped. That's all that matters. When you're old, that hurts. Heinicke is in for Washington. How does that impact your thoughts on the offense?
Yeah, the Giants' secondary isn't terrible, and their front wasn't terrible. I think, you know, on a short week, they're going to go ahead and try to run it more. We didn't see incredible stats last week. Heinicke didn't, even in a game, you know, where they were from behind. He didn't throw it a ton. I was trying to find the score. I have Terry McLaurin as wide receiver 24. You know, I can't bring myself to drop him out of wide receiver 2 status, but we saw it wasn't an incredible game. He and Logan Thomas, you're probably still playing, but moderating expectations. I think both of us were more on the it's going to be an Antonio Gibson game. I think they're going to try to run to protect him. I made jokes about this being 6'3". In reality, I would not be shocked if this game doesn't get out of the teens.
Yeah, I mean, I still have Gibson and Thomas high. I do think they'll be the focal point of the offense. I have McLaurin at 16. I'm with you. I can't drop him too much. And we saw the amazing catch I talked about on Monday. I feel like was already the coach of the year. So I'm right there with you on McLaurin. I just don't think you can drop him too much because he's going to be the main focus outside of Logan Thompson. He's just such a good route runner. He's going to find ways to get open because I still don't think outside of Bradbury, who may be on McLaurin, that Giants secondary is not great. So if Bradbury's on McLaurin, maybe you limit expectations a little bit, but still he's likely going to end up finishing right around wide receiver 2 territory. All right, so who are you picking to win the game then?
I'm going with Washington. I just don't think they start 0-2.
Yeah, I'm taking Washington as well. As good as the Giants looked last week, I still think that Washington is just a better team all around. And again, we saw Heinicke challenge Tampa Bay in that playoff game last year. So I he's not a starting quarterback, but he is a more than serviceable backup. And that, like I said earlier, the team is good enough around him with the weapons they have in the defense. I expect Washington's going to be okay until Ryan Fitzpatrick comes back. They'll stay around 500. So I am picking Washington to win this game as well.
And Dennis also picked Washington. Yeah.
So it's a clean sweep. So expect the Giants to win 32-10 tomorrow night. All right. So that will do it for us today. Again, no podcast Thursday.
200-yard rush.
No, I would hate that because I'm sitting him in a couple of my big leagues. If you guys have been following us for the past couple of years, we always obviously did this show on Thursdays. It will be on Wednesdays just to give you guys a reminder now so you will not hear from us again till Friday, at which it will be Matt, myself, and Dennis back to recap the Thursday night football game and then preview the entire week 2 NFL slate. So until then, enjoy the Thursday night football game, and we will see you guys again on Friday.
Prepare for glory! I don't know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
I came out the womb, I was ready.
And he's hit the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Throw it up above his head. They can't jump with me. Golly!
Only they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Who can make a play? I can! Who can make a play? I can!